You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Business of Practice podcast, where we focus on the business and human sides of equine veterinary medicine. In this episode, we're going to talk with Dr. Christine Staton about delegation. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Grice, business consultant and former equine practice owner. The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you in 2026 by Care Credit. Dr. Christine Staton earned her DVM degree from Colorado State University in 1999 and a Master's of Business Administration from Louisiana State University in 2023. She's a large animal veterinarian, the owner of a mixed animal practice with two locations, and also is a practice consultant. She is dedicated to nurturing the next generation through mentorship programs for veterinary students as well as new graduates, ensuring the long-term sustainability of the veterinary field. Welcome, Dr. Staton. It's so good to have you back with us today.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
You know, when you think about how many, especially equine practices, are small, and the owners of the small practices are wearing so many hats, and oftentimes they're the, you know, the biggest revenue earner in the practice, and they've got all kinds of staff to worry about, perhaps their workload can seem really overwhelming. But in spite of that, many, many veterinarians resist delegating to others. Even associates sometimes won't let their team members assist them with tasks. Why? Why does this happen?
Well, for me, it happened because of control, I think. You know, we have to just acknowledge the reality that most
of us... We're control freaks,
exactly. I also think those of us that started just driving in a truck by ourselves,
having to do it all,
right? It almost gets to be where this is our baby, and passing it off to somebody who doesn't care as much about it is hard. Obviously, I mean, that's one of the reasons we don't. And I call it my dishwasher scenario, because we had five children, my husband and I, and I'd try to teach them to load the dishwasher, and I'd walk around the corner. My husband's loading the dishwasher, and I'm like, "Why are you loading the dishwasher?"
And he's doing it wrong, probably.
No, he's doing it great. That's the key.
Oh, he's well trained.
He's wonderful. He said, "It's easier to load the dishwasher than for me to teach them how to load the dishwasher," and that to me is why it's so hard to pass stuff off. Because sometimes you think, I have to find time to teach someone how to do this. And I think most of us have probably passed some stuff off that we watched for a while and we're like, nope. And we grabbed it back and we're like, no, forget it. I'm just going to do it. It's easier for me to do it. Hold it back. Yeah. And so we're resistant to try that again and again and again. And then there's also the legal stuff. Like, yes, having somebody wash your truck is not legal, but if you're having somebody pull up controlled drugs, now you've got some deeper concerns about that. Or even if you're having them put in IV catheters in the horse for you, you have some deeper things like, oh, what if they don't do it well? And what are the ramifications of that legally if things go wrong and I have a technician doing some of those things? Or giving advice on the phone, maybe the receptionist, do I let them decide if that animal needs to come in for emergency or if it can wait till tomorrow? Like, so there's a huge element of teaching and training that we just don't want to take on because it sounds exhausting.
Yeah. And a lot of times there's just so much chaos and you feel like your head's in a vise already. And like, how are you going to teach them in that environment that your pager or your phone keeps going off and, you know, you set aside a little time to teach and then you're running off to an emergency 10 minutes later? It just feels crazy. So what is what's the solution to getting control of all of this and, right, so and getting some things off your plate?
So despite all those realities and despite all those feelings that are completely valid, we can't do everything and we become the bottleneck in our practice and we burn out. Like, reality is we're doing so much as veterinarians that we don't need to be doing or shouldn't be doing. And some of those things are things that we outsource to people outside of our business. Like, do we need to have somebody else do payroll? Do we need to have a tax strategist who's helping us save a bunch of money? Do we need to have, a landscaper that comes in so I'm not outside landscaping the practice? You know, little
yes,
things.
A thousand times, yes.
Yes. So we're outsourced. We need to send stuff to specialists, people who literally will do it better than us. And I'll call that outsourcing outside of my practice. They're not on my payroll. Those things, I think, are a little easier because they are professional. They do them better than me. The harder part there is cost. We think, what's the ROI on this? Like, is it worth hiring that person? The other side of that is delegation, which I think in my practice is delegating to somebody who I'm hiring in. They're going to be on my payroll. Or they already work for me and I'm going to give them more responsibilities. And for a lot of us, that first person that we hire, if we're solo, is going to be a technician. And there's incredible data out there on how much increased revenue you can get by bringing on one technician. It's insane, the data that's out there. And also, your sanity gets a lot better. And I think training a technician is one of the easiest if you're ambulatory, because you're with them in the truck all the time talking. So either they're driving and you're writing records, or they're writing records and you're driving, or you're just talking. You're saying, okay, we're going to get to this call. These are the things I normally use. Let's write them down. Hey, let's write an SOP on that. So we now know, what do we pull out for that? Let's write a take-home instruction for that client. These types of things. Now we're creating structure and systems that outlast just that one technician. But when they're with you, they're watching you do everything and you're paired together. I think it's a little harder when you're in a clinic situation where you're not literally tied to each
other. Together all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love systems. I just think it helps so much. And then that allows you to delegate for that technician that helped you write the system to train the next one in the system. Yeah. And then, it allows people that to want to feel like good and competent by just, I'll go either watch that video of how to do that. Or I can look in the book on the, you either like to watch a video or maybe it's maybe it's just audio or whatever it is, but you can learn how to do that and feel like, see, I accomplished this, and no one had to take time away from their work to do it.
Absolutely. There's no excuse for us to not write SOPs. We can just talk to our phone and it will create it for us. Just talk through, how to clean an NG tube and bucket. You can either prop your phone up and videotape yourself doing it while you're doing it. You don't even have to
send this up.
You can do it at a call and say, this is how you clean it. You need to get the organic material off with soap first. Then it needs to soak in disinfectant and, explain the process and what you use in your practice. Now, that's a training tool. And then you can even take that video, pop it into AI and say, write this up as an SOP. It's just too easy now. And
it is.
And I think I wrote so many SOPs from scratch and I'm thinking, gosh, they're so easy to do now. And we have our team have access to them. There's tons of ways to do that now. You can have an app. Mm-hmm. You can make an app in an afternoon yourself for $20 a month. Like, it's insane what now we can do with AI that we could never. 5 years ago, an app cost $20,000, but you can make an app with all your SOPs. We have it in a public folder on all of our computers and all of our SOPs are there so they can search it. And they know not to come to us and say, how do I do this? No, it's read the SOP, and they can put NG tube and it'll pop up. Anything related to NG tube SOPs is going to come up for them. So yes, it's a process, but they can help you with the process too. They can, you can show them how to do it. And then you say, write it up for me. So I think the first person most people get is that technician. And I think that's one of the best hires you can possibly do. And then having somebody who's at the clinic, staying there, manning the phones, making appointments, being a receptionist, maybe they're also doing inventory for you, is incredible. And as you grow, you figure out other positions that seem to work in your practice. And for me, one of the things I like to do, I do it about every year, is a time audit where I write down for 2 whole weeks, I write down everything that I do every 30 minutes, whether it's sleep, driving, whatever I'm doing. And then I take that and I say, what do I not need to be doing here? And it's eye-opening. And if any of the listeners would like my time audit, I have a write-up on it that you can just have it. Just reach out to me and ask for it, and I can get that to you. But it is so eye-opening when you see the hours you spend doing certain things that, and then say, oh, I need to get that off of my plate. Like, that's something easy somebody else can be doing.
Well, if it's Reels on Facebook that you're watching, you really don't want to delegate that. You just want to put that in the trash can.
Right. Doom scrolling is part of mine. Yes, doom scrolling gets to be there. Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, my God.
The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you by Care Credit. Care Credit keeps equine veterinarians at the heart of care by providing horse owners with simple, budget-friendly financing options. By helping to bridge the gap between costs and care, Care Credit supports healthy financial relationships between veterinarians and their clients. Clients have a flexible way to pay over time for all types of care, and practices get paid in 2 business days. It's a payment experience everyone can feel good about.
What are the obstacles? What are the most troublesome obstacles to delegating? Like, what should people expect to run into that they go, see, I should never have done that?
I think time is the biggest thing. It's our biggest fear. And I've kind of come to the place where it took me a long time that people don't have to do it my way.
Yes.
Yeah. You need some outcome-based things. So if you say, this is the outcome I desire, this is how I've been doing it, and they find a different way to get to that outcome, accepting their way of doing that for me was challenging. But once I really changed to outcome, did we get the outcome? Then I went, why are we doing this? Like, why am I worrying about this so much? A great example is our pet resort. When we first opened our physical clinic, when we first built it, I was running the pet resort, like, and seeing appointments, because we were the first person we hired didn't work full time. And I figured out a system to clean the kennels that made a lot of sense. And I wrote that down, and this is how I wanted everyone to clean the kennels. And I remember going back there with a new person and saying, they're not doing it the way I told them. But then I was like, wait a minute, what is the goal here? It doesn't matter which order she's doing them in. Like, I would put all the dogs into their back runs and clean all of them at the same time. She would do it one at a time. And she actually did it just as fast as I did. But it took me a couple of times of getting frustrated that she's not following my plan. So I think there's a little bit of control release that we have to do. So a barrier is control and a barrier is time. And then just being okay with saying, it's not going to work every time. I'm going to bring it back. We're going to fix some stuff. We're going to figure out if that's the person or if maybe we need a different person, and not letting that just completely squish you to say, I'm not going to ever do this again. Because we've all been there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true that, you know, trying something once and having it not work out the way that you had hoped doesn't mean that you never try it again.
Absolutely.
You know, you just try it differently. And as far as delegating successfully, I think you've just told us what the most important things for success. I think there were 3 of them. I'm thinking back. One was giving up control. Another was, now they're going out of my mind. I'm on the spot.
I think that you have to get to a place where you almost want to give up control. And that is hard. There's a lot of mind work that goes through delegation. But once you have a few succeed and it's off of your plate and you're like, this is amazing, then it kind of gives you the momentum to do more. So I think if the person's not delegated anything, if they're solo driving around in their truck, of course the first hire or the first thing they delegate is going to be the hardest one. And then you start to see success. And then you really look for strength. So for us, when we hire now, we created an org board for our practice of positions. It's not people. It's positions in a perfect world that we would want. Facilities management. We want an establishment officer that helps every single person that's getting onboarded in our practice, and they're their touch point. There's just things within here. We've got, you know, inventory and a social media. Now, your name may be in all the boxes today, but if you look at those and you create a little job description for each one, again, AI is your friend here, create a job description for each of those things, then when you're hiring, you have that in the back of your mind. So you think, you know, I'm kind of tired of marketing and social media and making pamphlets for my practice. This person who's applying for reception has a lot of experience in that area. Maybe I choose them knowing that that's something I want to pass off eventually. And when you see the big picture of all the things you're currently doing or not doing and that you wish your practice was doing, then hiring becomes really targeted and really, what's the word? It's just very intentional. That's the best word. It just becomes intentional. Like, I'm looking for a person who, to be a tech, but also has incredibly good organizational skills because I want to pass inventory off to somebody eventually.
Yeah, I'm ready to delegate. I'm ready.
Or I need a manager in my tech land because I now have 4 or 5 techs and 2 doctors, and I really want somebody to make the schedule and maybe have their tier meetings, do those things. So the next person I hire as a tech, I'm really looking for some managerial qualities or character qualities because they might be my manager.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying about the person in the ambulatory truck with their very first technician or assistant. You know, you think about what a joy it is to have someone else stock the truck.
Yes.
And you get back.
Oh my gosh.
Until they have forgotten something.
Yes.
And you must take a deep breath and remember all of the days where you didn't have to stock the truck and everything is on the truck and everything's okay, because there will be a mistake someday.
Every week. And,
you know, you just have to take a deep breath, because your life is so much better off having somebody do those things.
It's so important, that mindset. You're exactly right. I have 6 veterinarians, and we have multiple trucks out in the field every day. And there is not a week that goes by, even though we have incredible tech team and incredible systems, there is not a week that they get to a call and something isn't where it needs to be, because we rotate trucks and rotate techs and doctors, and there's just not a lot of consistency. And so you're right, accepting that somebody once told me, if they're doing it 80% as good as you're doing it, it's worth passing off. And I thought, oh, that is a neat thing to think through. Like, I'm willing to accept some. Then I also have to acknowledge that when I was doing it myself, there were times that I forgot
stuff. Things.
For sure. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But absolutely. I forgave myself.
Yeah.
Right away. Like,
yeah. It's so easier. There's certainly excuses that you can. Yeah. We say, well, that's because I was out all night and I had this going on. Yeah. We have somebody right now, because of the size that we are in our large animal clinic, we call them the treatment tech for the day. They stay in the clinic all day, even though we're ambulatory, or if we have in clinic appointments, They're not the tech on them. And they do lots of things to help us in the clinic all day. But one of the things they do is when the trucks are heading back to the clinic, they send a screenshot of a written list of everything they need to stock the truck. That person puts it all on a cart. So when that tech and doctor get back tired, and right now it's over 100 degrees here, they're exhausted, and they've got a cart with everything ready for them. I mean, everyone gets out of work earlier now. We have less overtime, less burnout. And that position has really proved to be very valuable for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Are there any other tips and tricks you would like to share with our listeners today?
I think the things that you want to delegate, you just find the thing that you want off your plate the most. That's what you delegate first. And for me, I go through kind of a list of what things do I like doing least, or what things take most of my time. And then say, okay, well, that's what I'm going to pass off. And it's different for every single person, but especially if you don't like it, it's a lot easier to pass it off, because even if they're not doing it perfectly, you're so grateful to not have to do that one thing, whatever it is. So I would pick something that's going to be a win to start with, not something that you love doing, and let that be what starts the rolling of passing stuff off. And myself, I actually was horrible at this, as I tend to be at most things initially. And right now I have my org board is me, and underneath me is my CFO, who does all the financial stuff, everything. And I have now a COO. My general manager was promoted in January to COO. She runs the clinic. She makes financial decisions for the clinic. I meet with the two of them once a week. We go over numbers, they give me reports on what they're doing, and I'm not doing much in terms of managing the clinic anymore. I'm helping them and supporting them in their roles. And I think not everyone wants to get to this phase, especially if you have a small ambulatory practice where you're not making any decisions, but it is possible even for control freaks like myself to get here.
That is good to know, because there's people out there pulling their hair out because they're trying to do it all and they're so very busy. So you are such a great example of how to get control of the chaos. It's really, it's nice that people can hear that the chaos can be controlled. You just have to have willingness to do the things.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you, Dr. Staton, for being with us today to tell us how to control the chaos.
Absolutely. I'm always working on it myself. So yes, I would love to encourage anyone to make your life less chaotic.
Mm-hmm. And thank you to all our listeners for joining us for the Business of Practice podcast. And a big thank you to our sponsor, Care Credit. And to all my listeners out there, be brave, embrace change, and start delegating.